Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are on latalkradio.com. I want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us to be here with you each and every Thursday live. And I want to thank LA Talk Radio for broadcasting us on various times, on various channels throughout the week. I want to remind you all that you can always listen to our archive shows at latalkradio.com. And I want to remind everybody, the One Institute is a 501c3, which is a nonprofit organization. So I would like to give a big thank you to Ali Sheedy and one other anonymous big donor. So we have had two big donors reaching out to keep us on the air. I want to send my thanks out to both of them. And with that, Dr. Allen, you're live on the air.
Good. I'm here and my hearing aids are fixed. My ear is fixed. I'm happy.
Excellent. And we're pretty darn happy about our donors. Pretty awesome. So that's just amazing.
Hello.
Hi, is this Patricia Eltenge?
It is indeed.
Welcome to the show, Patricia.
Hello.
Patricia. Hello to you.
How long have you studied with me, Patricia?
How long have I studied with the dream?
With me for anything.
Oh, over 25 years. More than a quarter of a century.
Why did you pick dreams, or did dreams pick you?
Well, Pat, dreams picked me. That's a very good way of putting it. The dreams came to me in a frightening way in the beginning as a young kid from having been kidnapped and molested. And the messages were trying to come through to me ever since I was young. And I began my quest as a young person, and then eventually got into psychology and specifically narrowing in on the dreams.
Very good. And so what have you learned in these 20-some years? Why do we dream? Our dreams, like when you dream of something dying, are you having a nightmare, or is there a meaning to everything? What do they mean?
Yes. Well, it was one of my favorite topics, is talking about things, something dying, whether it be people or things. People, nature, and things, our dreams come to in those categories in a hierarchy. So, but when something is dying, it's a piece or an aspect of yourself that you're ready to let go of. And we dream of, as I said, in terms of people, nature, and things in the hierarchy, which is things is the lowest, furthest away from something coming to consciousness. Then we come up through to nature. Now something is trying to come through to us a little more, and then we reach people. When we're dreaming of people, then it's ready to come through to our conscious mind, the message that our subconscious mind is trying to bring us. So back to dreaming of death in a dream or something dying, that is an aspect of ourself, since everything in our dream, everything, every person, every symbol in the dream is an aspect of ourself. So So I love and to tell people that.
Is it wishing us harm or our dreams
not wishing.
Really wishing us well?
We love to talk about dreams wishing us well, because even what people refer to as nightmares are just really only scary images coming through to help us be able to manage our lives in a better way. So dreams are like a training ground. So when there are scary images in dreams, it's really helping us to better react to stressful situations. So now in this time, these stressful times that we've been going through, all of us, a lot of people get scary dreams. They call them nightmares, but we like to call them scary dreams, right, Pat, or scary images. And the training ground in our mind is so that we can better react to what's happening in our waking life. Right?
Yes. I want to ask you if you'd be willing to bring up a dream that you had and read it to us.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I can tell you one of the great dreams that brought me to this work as a child was the dream of being chased by a scary witch. And scary witch, yes. And when the scary witch was chasing me, she was on a broom, the classic witch we think of with the broom and the wart on the nose and frightening, coming to get me. Well, that dream haunted me as a young person for many years. And then finally, when I came to consciousness about the image, it was relating to my post-traumatic stress of my initial trauma of being kidnapped. So the witch that was coming after me was my scary feelings that were, and my scary thoughts, since we also think in terms of the masculine and the feminine, and the masculine is our thoughts and the feminine is our feelings. So when images come to us, it reflects our consciousness of our feelings and our thoughts. And
so
when I finally understood.
What was the effect after you woke up? Did you
did
it give you any incentive to do something? Did you go to therapy? What did you do?
Yes. Well, this is what I started seeking therapy as a young person in my 20s. And since I was 24, seeking it myself, this is how I got involved in my own deep work, which led me to the work of becoming a transactional analyst and then deeper into the dream work.
Good. So you've written a book, I hear? I know it.
Yeah, the book, yes, you have a book. The book is called The Dream Class. The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, by me, Patricia Elton.
Is it like a textbook? Is it a
this
story?
Book,
how is the book created?
The book created in such a way that it looks like a coffee table book on one level, because it's got 22 dreamlike photographic images that is also my photography, but it's laid out in the way that any lay person can learn to do this dream work, can learn it for themselves and their family and friends, can understand it and seek out me, Patricia Eltinge, at patricialtinge.com. And then start your own dream groups. I encourage people to start their own dream groups. And based on this style, the style of dream work that I also teach to groups and have workshops. And I taught this work at the National Transactional Analysis Convention a few years ago, if you recall, Pat, to other therapists.
I do.
That's right. So, and this is a great intro and in-depth study in a very, very methodical way. And it's much different than a dream dictionary. This is not a dream dictionary. This is really teaching people chapter by chapter in a way. I suggest people look at it in a way and absorb a chapter at a time. And I'll tell you a great takeaway, Pat, in this book is to how to capture your dreams. There's a chapter on how to capture your dreams, because capturing your dreams and learning to remember your dreams is the first part of it. And it's an art and a craft and something you can learn, like doing yoga. You practice yoga. Well, you practice capturing your dreams. And the way you do that is to, we say, set your limen. And the way we do that is before you go to sleep, you tell yourself, I'm going to remember my dreams. First, you put a pad and paper by your bed or recording device, and you have that ready for you. When you go to sleep, you say, I'm going to remember my dreams. And I'm also not going to open my eyes for 3 to 4 minute period as upon waking. So upon waking, you catch yourself, do not open your eyes, and you will see, you will begin to see the images that you will recall and remember your dreams. Then you can write it down, even with your eyes closed. It's best if you don't open your eyes, and scratch down on this notebook next to you. Oh, in my dream, oh, there was a cat, there was a car, there was a hill. So even if you capture one symbol, you start with one symbol.
It will speak to you.
It will speak to you, and then you can build upon that. Maybe the next night you'll see two images. And then people who've been with me several years have, it's really not about how elaborate the stories are, but they can be elaborate, or they can just be a symbol. That symbol will be, that one symbol can speak volumes about what your unconscious mind is trying to tell you and how we can navigate our daily lives better.
Hey, can I just ask a question about passive dreamers, active dreamers, and lucid dreamers?
Passive? What do you mean by passive? Kelly, is that Kelly? Yes.
Yeah, it is. Somebody who is like an observer in a dream.
Okay, in the third part, yes. Yes. Well, a lot of times we're watching a movie. It's as if we're watching a movie and this scenario unfolds before us. Now, and also if you recognize that you're dreaming while you're dreaming, that's lucid dreaming right there. If you
I'm
in this scenario. Oh, okay. Well, that is lucid dreaming, Kelly. You're doing great. Either any kind of dreaming is great. So a lucid dream just says, I'm aware that I'm dreaming. Let me continue to watch this movie unfold. And there are other times when you're part of it, you are involved in running or chasing, or you're observing, you're part of the scene. And then when you're upon waking, you think, that was everybody says is what I'm used to. I had the craziest dream, is how most people start.
Yeah, that's interesting too. I my physician is a naturopath, And we were discussing today methods and ideas on relaxation techniques with all of this stress going on in the world. And she was talking about valerian root, and that valerian root can have a very huge impact on the dreamer. So I thought that was interesting because you were going to be on today that she mentioned that.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that you have had a deep into some herbal stuff. Have you found that to be true?
Yes. All substances other than even foods can affect your sleeping and your dream life. And especially ones that can negatively impact your dreaming are mind-altering chemicals, mind-altering substances, including sugar. So even some herbs can impact your dreaming in a negative way. So people don't really dream well. They don't reach quality sleep, deep sleep, when they take some medications, some mind-altering chemicals, including alcohol, sugar, recreational drugs, or prescription drugs even. It can really affect how you sleep and whether you dream or not. Now, when we're sleeping is the time when our brain is actually washing itself and cleansing itself of toxins, which is a system called the glymphatic system, but that's the biology, that's the physiology of what's going on. But if we're not reaching deep sleep, that interrupts that system that really needs to happen. So people who are preventing themselves through substance are also preventing the cleansing of the toxins from their brain. And we're also, during that period, in that process, is when we're dreaming and what Pat used to always refer to as paper shredding the situations of our lives. And we're going through the process of collecting memories or discarding unnecessary data. So there you have it.
How can people get in touch with you, and can they do dream work over the phone because of our virus limitations?
That's right. Well, things are not changed for me at all in the way that getting in touch with me and doing dream work is like going to the confessional.
Give the number anonymous. Again. I want to you to tie up so that people know that you did a great job of explaining. Now build a bridge.
The bridge to me at patriciaeltinge.com. And my business line is 310-454-0684. And the book again is The Dream Class by Patricia Eltinge. My last name is spelled ELT.
How can they get the book?
It's on Amazon, and again, Amazon, and also on Veronica Lane Books, my publishing company, my publisher. So, The Dream Class by Patricia Eltinge. My last name is spelled ELTINGE. And as in dreams, as all dreams wish us well, even if they have scary images, I wish everyone well too, and I help people to connect to their own subconscious.
Thank you so much for such a nice explanation of a complex issue.
Thank you, Pat. It's always great. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Patricia. Awesome. I appreciate it. And maybe we'll have some images the next time you come back to talk more about.
I hope you do. Call me anytime, Kelly. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I just love that. I love that you and Patricia both talk about nightmares are not really scary when you really break it down and you figure out what's going on. And I thought it was so interesting today that my naturopath brought that up with respect to relaxation techniques and some herbal things that can help induce sleep, but often are interfering with the dream. So yes, she's a cool doctor, my doctor. So we've been talking a lot about EMDR and things like that.
Hello.
Oh, we have a caller. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Pat. Yes, I do.
Hi, hi. Great.
Thank you for taking my question. My question is that, yes. So my question is, about a year and a half ago, I wrote a hi-bye letter to somebody who I'm still very much in love with today.
You're still bonded to him?
Well, it's been about 3 years since I ended the relationship, but I have not been able to...
When was the last time you smelled him?
3 years ago.
Okay, so it takes approximately 2 years to detox from the pheromone addiction to a person's body that you didn't finish the project. Why did it fall apart?
Well, I ended it because his divorce wasn't finalized and it became very painful for me. And although he wanted to work it out, I was very much in fight or flight mode and flew from that relationship.
Do you want to write a hi-bye letter?
So my question is, so I wrote a hi-bye letter about a year and a half ago.
Oh,
and
did he answer it?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
I was not intending to reach back out. I lost my mother figure to cancer a few months ago, and I had been feeling just really desiring to reach back out, so I did.
Oh, good. You did it. You had courage and, instinct, and you reached out again. Good for you.
Okay, thank you. He was quite responsive, and he was willing to offer support for what I needed, but I guess because I'm still in love with him, and because he's not fully available or willing to open back up to me, I'm wondering if I need to clean up reaching back out or just allow it to unfold to see what happens. It's just bringing up a lot of anxiousness within me. And yes, I had courage and I'm proud of myself. And I'm wondering where to
go
now.
Has it been 8 weeks since? Did he do his 8 weeks gone, or he came back fast?
No, he. It's been about a month. We actually
One
share
month
the same.
Is not 8 weeks.
I know that. So no, it hasn't been 8 weeks.
Would you please wait for 8 weeks before you make a major decision?
Okay.
I cannot go against what I know is true. The rumination period, when you are either dumped or you're dumping somebody, when you're going through a high-buy kind of experience, you've got to give these people an opportunity to ruminate, think, feel, so that they can make a decision before you interrupt. So He's only been gone. Every time you smell him or his clothes or his house or whatever, every time you pheromone bond, pheromones are the chemistries that you put off in your body that people smell. And those smellings is the bonding chemicals that we call being or falling in love. So you're premature in expecting resolution from this last hi-bye. His fast response tells me to tell you, give him his 5 weeks more, because 8 weeks is what I know to be the rumination timetable.
Right. Okay. Well, the last communication about a month ago wasn't a high buy. I reached out for support. I wanted to just open up a conversation. So
I fully understand that. You reached out.
Okay. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And, but that was, did he have time? You said you wanted to continue your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
As friends? Yeah.
I offered, obviously, my hand in friendship, yeah.
Okay, so that's the rumination time that I want you to give him, otherwise you prematurely cut it off.
Right, okay. We share the same birthday, which is next month, so I am just feeling a lot of anxiousness.
Are you going to give him a ritual birthday card?
I've never reached out actually on our shared birthday the last few years. So I don't know if that would be a wise idea or not.
It's a ritual card for anniversaries, for graduations, for birthdays are not romantic. They're rituals you use in order to trigger thought in the other person so that they can make a decision with all the data you can give them.
Mm-hmm.
So please give them a ritual card.
Okay.
You got a good response from this last reach out.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes. And
but
then,
you didn't grovel, you didn't beg, you didn't harass. You just triggered.
No. Yes, I'm feeling very triggered and vulnerable for having opened my heart again.
No, darling, so, it's been open all along. That's the problem. You haven't met somebody new. You're not, no one has stolen you from him.
Yes, exactly.
Are you dating?
I was, and then I felt it was very unfair because I wasn't able to be, I had a hard time being sensual and sexual and opening myself up. And so essentially
what you were was spiritually married.
Yes.
So I'm wanting you to understand you're showing all the signs of still being bonded to him, but you're thinking you're getting painfully hurt. You're thinking about cutting him out of your life too early. He's got 5 more weeks.
Okay.
And a ritual card.
Okay. And would I, if in the case that he isn't responsive to that, would you still suggest I send a high buy at 8 weeks?
No, because you've already sent the high buy and he already responded. But it's right in, it's not complete, the 8 weeks of rumination.
Okay. Thank you for giving me permission.
I know that you're uncomfortable and you want it terminated. I can't help you terminate what I know is still growing. And I want to give him a chance to really make a serious decision about you.
He's 21 years older than I am, and I feel sometimes like I'm wasting my life waiting for someone.
Honey, darling, I've got news for you. You've got someone, and every part of your nature is married to this human being. That's nature. And the truth of the matter is, if you abort this thing prematurely based on your ego decision, you may make a huge mistake. It's far worse than the pain you're going through.
I definitely feel that that's been my experience. And I had, you know, I've stated that I do feel regretful of doing that in the past.
Well,
so
it's still on the table. Let it let it come to fruition and either bloom or die.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you, caller. I hope you're going to update us.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Pat. Thank you for having me.
You have a great day.
I can't lie to you. I can't lie to you.
You're aborting you,
a relationship. What?
I appreciate that. That's why I come to you, Dr. Pat, because I know you'll give it to me straight, and I obviously trust what you have to say to me. So I will follow your suggestions.
5 weeks.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. Yep.
You're welcome.
Have a good
night. Thank you.
Bye.
Tells us we've got more calls, and here we go.
Let's give everybody a chance.
Hello?
Awesome. You're on the line with Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Hi, Dr. Pat. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi. So, I'm just interested in, like, how to navigate this whole dating and the pandemic. Specifically, I went out with somebody. We went on 3 dates so far. We have another date Friday night.
You went out physically?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you do everything that's recommended?
Well, probably not. Like, the last date we made out. So, you know, there's that.
So what you're saying is, are you risking death?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, we talked about it, and he had tested negative. That, like, we went out once, and then the next day, we went to dinner, and then the next day, he said he wasn't feeling well, so he went and got tested, and he tested negative. So we had that, like, that was already there, and I don't know. I guess I thought, I mean, I guess I didn't talk about it clearly enough after that. And I'm just wondering, like, so here's the deal. Like, he texted me. So we made out the last time we went out, and I felt pretty safe because of the conversation we had about testing and blah, blah, blah. But we're certainly not exclusive. We've been on 3 dates. So, like, how do you navigate this? Like, do I say, like, now I'm like, do we just keep it, like, very platonic until we're certain that, you know, and not even kiss? Because, you know, and I'm just, you know, like, what has changed
your mind about risking your life?
He texted me yesterday, you know, to make plans for tomorrow night, and he mentioned in the text, he said, by the way, I just want you to know I'm still going on date just in case. I want to be honest. And I was like, it was like, you know, it was a little bit of a wake up call for me, because, you know, we hadn't talked about it, and I guess I was being a little blind about it. And so I said, oh, of course, you know, and I was still on the apps. So I said, thank you for saying that. I think it's important to be honest. So we're going to dinner, and we're going to sit outside at a restaurant outside. But I'm thinking, like, I can't kiss him now.
I know that, dear. I know that. You're in quarantine.
So that's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line. I want to tell what I know and what I've been working with people. Under every good love affair is a deep and penetrating friendship. One of the great losses in our lifetime is the lost virtue of courtship. Every evil has a good thing, and every good thing has some evil. Now, the virus is evil. it's mm-hmm. death dealing, as we know.
Yeah.
But it gives us the opportunity to use Zoom classes to make deep friendships with people we're interested in, because those friendships will last a lifetime and won't do one bit of damage to your sex life or your romantic life.
Right.
So I pray to God that you don't have the virus and that you have the opportunity to change your dating from physical to spiritual. This man told you, I want to risk my life. I'm too bored being virtuous. Did you hear Mr. Christie today tell what he thought? What a mistake it was not to use a mask?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear. I mean, I heard a soundbite like last week, but yeah, I know. Yeah, he's regretful.
Would you please, you know, in all of the great religions, Catholic, Jewish, you know, what's the Mideastern one?
Muslim?
Muslim, Buddhist, all of
Hindu,
the
Muslim? Jewish, yeah.
What?
I said Hindu, Muslim.
I didn't hear that.
No, no worries. No worries. I was just naming another religion. It's fine. Yeah.
Oh, what was the religion?
Muslim, Hindu?
Yes. Yes. Every good, solid religion puts spiritual love ahead of sexual love. I want you to start flirting to make deep friends with men. Men do not marry vaginas. They play with them. They marry virtuous women. So look at the part of this, you know, this virus thing. What can we get out of it that will enhance our life? Deep friendships with men and women who we have great chemistry for.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Got it.
So, the soul of a man is feminine, the anima. The soul of a woman is masculine, the animus. I've often said it, and I'm going to say it again. Carl Jung's wife wrote the book Anima, Animus. This is what I'm trying to carry back into mankind's race. Is please, science is designed to be virtuous. Friendships are loving people, not using intercourse for chemistry.
Right.
Using love for chemistry.
Right.
So please, don't risk dying.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I believe we've got more calls that our wonderful Ronan at the switchboard gets for us and connects us with our people. He's amazing. LA Talk Radio's Ronan Rosner. Okay, so callers, remember, if you get a weird call, it's probably us calling you back if you were in our queue to ask a question of Dr. Pat. So, oh, Dr. Pat, I sent out a feeler to a group, a medical group that does TMS here in Washington.
Oh, good.
They're one of the majors connected. I'm hoping to hear back from them. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Caller, are you there? Well, I see our caller on the line, but they're not answering us. Caller, oh, boom. And maybe they got shy and disappeared. Okay, yeah, so I'm hoping you're going to reach back out to me, Dr. Allen. I sent them a message. I'm hoping that maybe they would consent to be on and talk a little bit about...
That's wonderful.
Oh, we've got our caller. Caller, you're live with Dr. Hello. Allen. You have a question.
Yes, I have a question. Thanks for your call. So I'm 33 years old. There is a guy who is 46 years old, and he's dating me. My question is that I want to be cherished first, respected second when I'm in a relationship, but I don't because he is 46 years old, and
he wants to be cherished too. He's in perimenopause.
Yes.
Which is the beginning of his, what we call menopause women. His testosterone is going down, and the estrogen in his body wants to be cherished. And it will grow from this time till he's like 55. He will need that. But the truth of the matter is, he also may be really ready. Are you interested in him seriously?
Yes.
Is he interested in you?
Yes.
Are you dating him?
No, he's dating me, but he's cherishing.
No, but what I'm saying is, are you willing to date him? Are you physically willing to date him?
To be the masculine energy in the relationship, you mean, Dr. Allen?
No, I mean, are you physically, I just talked to a little lady, and I wanted to know if you were physically dating this gentleman.
Yes.
Okay. So you feel safe enough physically?
Yes.
All right. Have you been tested for the virus?
Yes.
And you're both negative?
Yes.
Okay. So, what is the question? You're building a relationship.
Yes. My question is that how can I negotiate if I want to be the feminine energy in the relationship? To stay, because I know I get older, but I want to stay feminine.
You have the right to stay feminine. The way women stay feminine is saying no to not being. Like, for example, how many women have men that say, I'm tired of doing all the calling, and I want you to pay half of the bills when we go out on dates. I don't like this business of not being totally equal.
Mm-hmm.
Does the man that you're dating, does he want to be respected for his generous protection and cherishing?
Yes.
Is he by nature generous?
Yes, he's very generous.
then what are you calling me for when you're getting what you want?
Because my question is that when he gets older, so I have to ask him what he thinks, or I have to ask about his feelings when he gets older, let's say in
his 40s. I want you to understand that when he gets to be in his 50s, you are going to have an opportunity to do both feminine and masculine with him. Because as his testosterone goes down, his need to speak his feelings, which is nice because it's not as aggressive as young men, it's more loving. Grandpa's nicer than dad, and grandma's meaner than mom.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so in this particular case, he will say, for example, golly, let's pretend you were married to him. Boy, mm-hmm. I had a horrible day at work. This happened and that happened. I felt really like I wanted to quit working. Now, was he talking about his thinking of moving a job? Or was he talking about how bad he felt?
He talked about how bad he felt.
Then you would say to him, is there anything I can do for you that will help you and me feel better about this experience? See,
okay.
When you get into your maturity, when we get... like when we get into perimenopause, which is the same age bracket as we're talking about him, when you get there, your tendency is going to be to go towards mothering and wow. saying what you want. But if he's wow. smart, he will always ask you, how do you feel about this situation, and how can I help you and I feel better? You see? The
yes.
tools of a woman, like yourself, are at this age and now to always go towards his left lobe and ask, what do you think? What do you want? And for him to say, how do you feel about it? When he says, I think, and you say, I think, and he says, I feel, and you say, I feel, I make money because you people are competing with each other for man of the year and woman of the year. You see?
Yeah.
But if you hopefully with permission to say what he feels bad about, then you would say, what can I do to help you and I feel better in this situation?
Okay.
So when you get into the 50s, 40s and 50s, you let him signal you.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that the four of you can waltz together.
Yes.
If he's worth it.
Yeah.
Now, the assets of an older man, he's 13 years older than you are, the assets are that he will be a more loving person because of his biological changes. And you, as you get to be in the 40s and 50s, you will become appropriately intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I have an idea about what we can do about vacation. Are you interested in my idea? And when would it be convenient? Do you see? Or when would it be comfortable? Because everybody's both male and female. Everybody is both cherished and respected. It's who you're with and what your contract is. You may be masculine in one relationship with your younger brother and feminine with your boyfriend. Each person is a relationship that deals with the issue of respect and cherishing. Is your mother respectable or cherishable?
No, my mom, she's a man.
Okay. And you sound like you're afraid you're going to be molded into a man because he's 13 years older.
Yes.
If you people build a friendship, you will use my tools to do it.
Yes.
Do you see? So your job would be to always, for right now, because he's still young enough, to ask him what he thinks, wants, opinions, suggestions, mm-hmm. and what you can do to help him, you and he, do better.
Mm-hmm.
And when he asks you what you think, tell him what you feel. Women get what they want by knowing what they feel bad about and don't want. Men get what they want if the woman they're with asks them what they want, and if she can do anything to help both of them, do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's four people in every relationship, every parent, every child, everybody's both male and female. Men have male bodies, but female souls. Women have female bodies, but male souls. And we shift right now. Am I in my male or my female? Tell me.
You're in your male.
And what are you in right now?
Female?
Yes, you're in your female. I'm teaching you something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? And he is going to be, at his age, he's going to be more equally male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to that age, you're going to be more equally female and male.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you've got to be very careful about realizing that he needs to be cherished if he goes for it in a responsible way, which is, I had a really bad day today at work and I really want to talk to you about it. How do you feel about listening? Do you see
mm-hmm.
what I mean? If you both study the tools, which, by the way, you can look at in the work, you can in the shop that has the things that I have to sell, there is a book or manual that is about communication. And if Kelly, if I can talk to Kelly, she'll give the ad for it. Kelly. When she comes back. Okay?
I'm here. So at www.drpatallen.com, we have a free video about communication. And then our products you can find at oneistore.com.
Yes.
So there. The whole point of what I'm saying is everybody's male and everybody's female. And some people are male with you and some people are female with you. You have multiple choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And don't forget my books, Getting to I Do, Staying Married and Loving It, Truth About
yes,
Men Will Set You Free. What?
Yes, I have all of them, Dr. Allen.
I know that. And you know what? I'm proud of every one of them.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're
Thank you
welcome.
So much.
Good girl.
Bye.
Thank you, caller.
Bye. Thank you,
Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm just checking in with our switchboard, make sure what's going on, see if we've got another call coming in.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it would be great since we've had EMDR, and we talked about, so, oh, here we go. Hello, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hello, ladies.
Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Pat. Hello. I've called in before, so I'm kind of I'm calling to give an update and to ask a question.
Good. Go for it.
All right. So I'm a gay guy, and I'm interested in someone who's actually my boss at work. And
I remember.
Okay, thank you. So last week was his birthday, and so so just to give a little backstory, you know, I went to his office to give him a small present, and it ended up being us talking for a whole hour at work, and it felt like I was in a date. We just opened up more. We talked about very, very personal things.
Did you hear me earlier talk about the best part of a relationship is building a solid friendship as a concrete foundation?
Actually, that yes, absolutely. I heard everything, and I almost felt like I didn't have to call anymore. But I still wanted just to get your insight because I felt like I got the answer.
I happen to be a Catholic. Did you see what Pope Francis did?
No, not recently. What did he do?
Blessed gay marriages.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's amazing.
Is that wonderful?
Yes, absolutely. I'm like half Catholic, half Protestant. So, yeah, if the Catholic Church has changed its position, I'm very
sure.
Happy. Yes.
I just wanted to bop in there with that, but I'll give you back the stage. What can we do for you?
Okay, so I was going to say a lot of things, but I'm just going to cut it short. Because I know there's a lot of callers, and I just don't want to take up too much of your time.
You can't take it up.
Okay.
You can share time.
And that's true.
If you don't have anything you want, that's the end of it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
So what do we do for you?
Okay. So I'll give you a little backstory. So I gave him a present, a book, which I haven't read before, but it's from an author that I like. And I told him why I liked the book, because I said, you know, he wrote a book on interior design. And then suddenly he said, oh, I love interior design. And, you know, he's an alpha guy. And that totally was completely like very new and interesting. And then
added to the compatibility factor.
Oh my God. It just kept on adding up even more as the conversation progressed, because he then said, oh, my favorite thing to do in life and my favorite hobby to do. And this is like my big boss at work. So alpha guy, he says he likes writing poetry. And I told him, goodness. Cause I like writing short stories when I have time. So there's another another level of compatibility. And
nice
then,
fun.
Yeah, other things. What did he say? Oh, like he likes to go antique shopping. And I said, oh my goodness. That's like my favorite thing to do. I go to all the Salvation Armies, you know, I live in Vegas, in Las Vegas, so that I, you know, just to get buy different knickknacks. And we started comparing, like, where's the best Salvation Army or, Goodwill.
Right.
And so, like, it was just like an amazing conversation. And then,
isn't chemistry nice?
It's heavenly. I never felt this type of chemistry before in another person. I mean, it's like bliss, you know, and I feel this just from having a conversation with someone. It's not even physical. It's just a conversation.
And
yeah.
And you're building it on a friendship. Do you see?
Yes. That? Yes, absolutely.
It's nice, but friendship is more solid. Especially in the virus world.
Yes, exactly. And I have to remember that we are living in the time of a pandemic, and sometimes I forget that. And then, also during the conversation, it got deeper. He also shared, well, I told him, you know, because we're both turning 40, and I'm going to be 40 in a year. He's going to be 40 in 2 years. I said, you know, that I feel like I've lived in two different worlds, like in an old world and then in the modern world. And then, you know, I told him that I grew up on a farm in a different country. And that I used to live in a very, you know, I was brought up in a very rural, kind of life where I had to kill chickens and, you know, all of that. And then he shared with me that, you know, growing up, he also grew up very poor, but in Nevada, where he didn't have enough food to eat growing up, like food rations weren't enough. And that, and, you know, like he had to depend on welfare so basically got deeper and deeper, and which I really appreciated because I felt like he was really trusting me with all this information about himself. And
yes, he was. But so were
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So you
yeah, and so yes,
mention
we,
of me.
Yes,
so
I did. I did.
A wonderful story, but I want a question.
Okay, the question I have is, I finally asked him out if I could treat him out to lunch for his birthday.
And then
he said, this is what he told me verbatim. He said, you know, I really like you. I like you a lot, but I cannot accept the invitation because two reasons. First reason is that his son, his 11-year-old son, is staying with him, and he says he wants to focus on his son. His son usually lives in Virginia, but because the schools are closed this semester, the son lives with him here. And so he said he wants to focus on his son. And the second reason was that he was my boss. But then when he said that, he explained that recently our company had gone through a merger and that he actually lost his job position and that he has to reapply for the same job position. So just in the interim, he's acting as my boss. Nobody at work knows this, only me. He told me in private that he's actually lost his position. But he said, while, you know, I'm his boss, sorry, while he's my boss, that he couldn't, you know, go to lunch with me. And
he could be your friend.
So that was my question. And I know I feel like I'm being selfish when I think like this, but my question really was, should I just take him at his word and move on from the romantic possibility?
No, dear. Be number one of three men you're building friendships to go somewhere with.
Really? Because I feel like he had closed the door on me. That's what
Honey,
it felt like.
He told you that the road he's on is not going where you're going. His son outranks you, and his lack of work is burdening him. He's asking you to be his friend without serious commitments.
Yes. And you did mention in the past that for a guy, losing his job is like a woman gaining 50 pounds. It's like the same.
You're not kidding.
So he's really.
You had an intimate date.
Yes, at his office, inside his office. That's what it felt like. It really felt like.
Please appreciate. Sex is wonderful, and gay men love sex. All men love sex, but gay men love it pretty good. So with that in mind, would you please make love as friends?
And yes, I will. I will do that. And then also just hang on to this hope that maybe one day there is a possibility, or should I not even think that way?
Unless you meet somebody else that replaces him. please, I want you dating three people.
Okay. All right. But still have him on my list.
It doesn't necessarily mean physically. It can be strictly Zooming, talking on the phone, building friendship.
Okay. So don't give up on this relationship, but just also be open to dating other people.
Don't give up on this relationship as long as nature has got you turned on to it. There's a message here. You heard me speak to someone on this program right now.
Yes. Yes.
You know, don't abort deals.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's only been a week. So you said also there's an 8 week at least rumination period, right?
There is nothing. He didn't can you.
Yeah, there's nothing. That's another thing.
Nothing was terminated. You are friends.
Oh, that's true. Nothing. Yeah.
It may be by the water cooler, but that's where your friendship stop is.
Okay. So just be happy that we have a growing friendship. Don't abort this friendship, and just also try to date other people and just be open.
Yes.
To the possibilities.
Three people. Three dates each.
All right.
But
I will do that, Dr.
Pat. Be with them physically. Zoom is a good company.
Okay. All right. All right. I will do all those things. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. I really needed to hear your input, and I will go with that. And I think it's very solid.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Dr.
Thank
Pat.
You
Thank
so
you
so much.
Sally.
All right.
You
take care, love.
Bye.
All right. We have got busy phones tonight, so we're going to have another call.
Fun? The Pope is blessing gay marriages.
It is. It's very... very unusual with the history of the Catholic Church, but
Hello.
You know, life progresses. Hello, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Allen. Hello.
Hello.
A gentleman was dating me, and it has actually been stopped. So I have some questions, and I don't know where to go.
Okay.
We have been dating for about 1 month.
Physically, are you dating friendly or dating physically?
We dated physically and exclusively. And on the second date, he asked me to stop dating other men. And He gave me the commitment of exclusivity and longevity and continuity. However, his actions and the commitment that he gave me was not consistent.
What did he not do?
He started to spend more physical time rather than non-sexual time with me. And when I expressed my feeling about it, that I don't feel comfortable like this, and I described what continuity meant to me, which was, for example, spending weekend together. He said he's busy over the weekend and he likes to meditate and all that. Unfortunately, his work schedule, he has to go to work even though it's in the middle of pandemic. His schedule begins 4:30 a.m. and by the time he's home and it's afternoon, he's too tired. So when I brought up this and I said I don't feel good about this, and I discussed whether
you're
or not
compatible
the option,
is what you're saying.
I think so. I am not sure. I really asked him to open up weekend for me, and he refused that, and he really didn't give me enough, non-sexual time. And so here is what happened the last time we spoke. On Friday, we agreed that on a Sunday, we're going to go on a hike early in the morning. However, he asked me to confirm everything with him on Saturday because he had a gathering with his friends. So I messaged him on Saturday afternoon and he sort of ghosted me until the next day, which is Sunday, 1 p.m., which has already passed the time to go hiking together. And yes. He casually said,
so
oh,
what
yeah.
What you're saying is he's showing signs of not being committable. Remember what I always say, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep. So you are running in doubt with this committed relationship that is rattling on the edges.
Exactly. And so on Sunday, that Sunday, I picked up the phone and I expressed my unhappiness about this. And I said,
Did you make an appointment?
No, I didn't.
You just started criticizing him?
No. I just said, I am very unhappy with the way you have behaved.
All right. And you made a nice statement about your feelings. Did he listen to you?
He listened to me. However, what I said was that either you come to my place and we resolve our issues. And the reason that I said that, Dr. Allen, is that because each time that I was expressing my feelings and I made an appointment, every single time that I made an appointment, to discuss our issues, he would cut me off and he would excuse himself that he's too tired and he has an early morning. So he wouldn't let me finish.
Rejected.
Yes, he would do that. And
so what did you do with your rejected feelings?
Well, I was hurt and I said on that Sunday, either you come here and we resolve our issues, or this is going to be goodbye and good luck. And before he even speaks, I hung up the phone.
I understand that, but you set your boundaries.
Yes.
Okay. He's got 8 weeks to respond to your boundaries.
Okay. So here is my question. So my question is that something happened after that. So a few days after our argument, I had a major surgery in which he was supposed to show up, which he didn't, and it was predictable. But even after that major surgery, he hasn't even called me to say, you know, if the surgery have gone well or if I feel well, nothing.
Here, I've got news for you. He is not cherishing your feelings.
Not at all. Exactly.
Then what are you going to do about it? You've already set the standard and it has a terminus date, 8 weeks from the time you told him. If you don't hear from him and he doesn't negotiate with you, it's over.
Mm-hmm. So I have two questions, Dr. Allen. Number one is he even worth the second chance, because this man doesn't have any empathy and I really didn't see any partnership or friendship.
I'm going to leave it to your feelings. Women are very controlled by their instincts, which is dopamine pleasure, serotonin tranquilizing, and norepinephrine pain. How much pain can you handle before you cut him out of your life?
Even though we had sex, I really didn't have that bond with him, because the reason is that he never focused on giving me any pleasure. And that was
news for you. I'm hearing a number of things that he did not follow through with. How long? You've already set the boundaries of my way or the highway, so I don't hear that you have anything to say to him, but you can watch the calendar, because when it's 8 weeks, he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the second question is actually, did I do anything wrong?
What you did is he conned you into becoming his sex partner. Right? You had intercourse. Yes.
But
or
then,
no?
Yes, we had intercourse, but he gave
but
me
you,
the commitment.
You thought, I know that, dear, but the commitment was not good.
Mm-hmm. See, exactly.
I say you don't know who a person is until you know them a year. And the only, I do not trust anybody until they make and keep agreements, basically. Otherwise, I'm just putting myself up for a painful experience. You have trusted somebody that conned you into giving him your body, please God, not with disease. Did you guys do him? So
COVID,
you came up, you were okay. Okay, yeah. Thank God. All right. But what you're sounding like is, well, he said he was going to be committed, honey. Saying you're committed and then not demonstrating it breaks the commitment.
Mm.
So you've already set the standard. Now it's time to wait for him to change and he's going to treat you or not.
Yes, the only thing that he was treating me well was that he would always pick up the tab and, you know, and all that. But, I mean, I would
you
say
know what?
He put... Yes.
We're all trying to get laid or paid. So what you're saying is he was financially gratifying because he paid for the dates. That's fine. But that's not spiritually fine for keeping commitments about
exactly.
The relationship.
Exactly. And based on what you're saying, it's just that I am not sure whether or not this is worth my time and my
what
investment.
Is that? He hasn't called you.
Yeah. And
how long has it been since you spelled him?
It's about 2 weeks now, two and a half weeks.
That means you've got 5.5 or 6 weeks to wait.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't
okay.
call him.
No.
That's you groveling.
I follow your book. I follow your method. I do not.
I know you're the pop.
Hmm. So how to do that? How to make him keep agreements?
You can't make him keep agreements. Mm. Your job is to find out. The secret is, this is why not having sex until you're sure he keeps commitments. See,
mm-hmm.
what you did was technically correct, but not spiritually solid.
Mm-hmm.
He said
okay.
the right thing, but did not keep it. So right now, you did the right thing setting boundaries. Either I am cherished or we're done. And he, as of now, is 2 weeks and something away from being with you. And that means 5.5 or 6 weeks, he's gone.
Okay.
But he may come back. He may promise to keep and make agreements. You
mm-hmm.
might want to think 30 times before you believe him.
So my question is, because I'm also duty dating and practicing, what should
Please.
I do? What should I do? Let's say another man comes like him and on a second date says, I don't want you to go with other men. I don't want you to go out with other men, you know, and he gives me all the right commitment. Should I
then
tell him I need
all
more time?
By all means, do it, but don't have intercourse.
Mm. What should
Build
I say in response to not in?
I appreciate you requesting that I not date other men. I just want you to know I'm not going to have intercourse with you unless I'm engaged.
Okay. Yes. Or can I say I need time to get to know you more in depth
no,
until I'm ready to have intercourse?
Wait a minute. Getting to know him is getting engaged.
Mm. Okay.
But it has a ring. It has a ritual. It has honor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No intercourse because you were premature believing him. Now that you've been burnt once, please remember it with other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wait until you see him love you like a great friend.
Yes, that exactly, as you were saying, the companionship and the friendship and the partnership was missing. And this
that's
was
right. And
a very
the engagement ring.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you wanting to get married?
Definitely.
Well, if you want to get married, then I strongly recommend, because you picked the wrong man once, I suggest you don't risk picking the wrong man twice.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. And I still don't know if, and that's a big if, he contacted me within these 8 weeks, if I should
that's
take
right.
him back.
You may take him back, I suggest, for a month or two, where he makes you date him and you watch how he treats you.
Okay. Without any intercourse. Okay.
Intercourse. You can be affectionate, you can sleep together, you can do whatever, but not intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal.
Got it. Thank you so much, Dr. Allen. Have a great evening. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you, caller.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
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 All right. Let's see what's shaking with our switchboard and see what's going on. Okay. Again, you can see our free, or you can hear or listen to our communications program on www.drpatallen.com. And if you're looking for products, you know where to go, www.wantistore.com. So, reaching out to our switchboard and seeing if we've got another call coming up here. I think he gets kind of busy when he's trying to get us connected. We're having some fun calls tonight, aren't we, Dr. Allen?
Yes.
Yes.
I love telling that darling gay man that the Pope approved weddings. That was really a treat for me. What?
Yeah. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. So I, a man is dating me. We met online, and he's like a very masculine man. All is well. Connection's great. I'm
so you're
used to
chemistry, compatibility, and communication.
So far, everything checks out. Yes.
How long are you dating?
It's been like a month, but we know this is special. We've never really felt like this with anyone before.
Okay, so how long are you experiencing him?
Oh, just about a week. So we really like talk,
okay,
like on the phone.
So it's
so
just
much.
The beginning of a friendship. That's just fine. That's
okay.
Just fine. Because that's the new form of courtship.
Yeah. So the issue I personally have is something
is
perhaps
it?
I need to get over with is that I'm used to dating men who are career oriented and financially stable, and this man is a sensitive
What's
man.
Wrong
very.
With that? What's wrong with
so
this man?
He's not. His priority is to be, you know, to have a family, to be like a good husband, and second.
So he is a man with a job on the side.
Right.
So he's not career oriented. Being a career is a goal that takes in mind, body, and spirit. It's a very spiritual event. A job is what you do to pay for the family you love. So are you a woman with a career or a career woman?
A career woman.
Okay.
But
then what's wrong with having a man who doesn't want a career? He wants jobs to pay bills for his family.
Well, I wanted to have
what you
my
might
income
call
be secondary.
A wife in a man's body. What?
Yeah, I just never grew up with that struggling.
What it looks like is he will do a lot of the cooking. He will do great jobs around the house. He will babysit up the storm. You will be allowed to become the millionaire career woman while he sees to it that you have a good home life. Remember, men can be wives just like women can be husbands. Everybody's male and female.
Right. I'm just afraid that because it's so out of the norm for me, I might like lose interest or lose respect. And
if the chemistry's right, you'll remember. Is the chemistry right with this man?
Yes.
Chemistry will carry you a long way. Without chemistry, 3 years is max.
Yeah.
First year, oh, good deal. Second year, okay, a deal. Third year, boring.
Right.
Chemistry is what keeps a lot of people together, you see, that would never because they don't fit the compatible. Like you want to be with a man who's a career man.
Right.
And you can be a woman with a job, maybe.
Right.
Well, why don't you date until you find that man?
Because I've never
felt
this cherished. I'm 33.
Okay, that's still young enough to take a year or two.
Yeah, and he's 40. But I've just never felt this type of connection. And he's such a man. I'm confused because he's such a manly man. He initiates everything.
I've got news for you. But his goal in life is to be a man, not a career man.
Got it. Yeah.
His goal is a happy family.
Right.
What is your goal for your life?
Well, my kids are, you know, older. They're like 11 and 15. And so I'm going back to school to become a clinical psychologist. And
So why don't you get a psychiatrist for a husband?
Really?
You'll be in the field.
Yeah.
This man is not that man, but he has a right to be who he is.
Right.
And you have a right to be with a man who's a career man.
Okay.
You have a right to do that.
Right. Historically, when I'm with a career man, I don't feel cherished the way or cared for or connected the way that I am with this man.
I understand that, but that's the asset of being with the man that wants to be more feminine.
Got it.
Do you see? There's nothing wrong. I have no problem with women being men and men being women. I just help people know what that means, and my book talks about it. So nothing wrong. Just because it's different doesn't make it wrong.
Right. And so it does have a chance to succeed.
He's got to be 51% valuable. That I know. Is
that only through time?
50, what?
Well, how would I know if he's going to be, he's my 51% when?
Because when on the worst day with him, his cherished ability is so valuable that having a career is not that interesting.
Okay.
Does he want you? Does he want you? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he's head over heels already.
Okay, so he's totally committed to you and building a family with you.
Yes.
But you've already had a couple of kids.
I've already had kids, and I told him I don't want any kids. And he's like, that's fine. It's an honor to be part of your family, I'm sure. Because he was raised by a single mom, and his dad married his mom with, like, five kids already at the time.
Okay. So he wants a career woman to be married to so he can be a man with a job.
Got it.
The job is for paying bills. It's not for creating the great universe. You see? Those are professionals. But oftentimes professionals are too busy to be mated or married.
Okay.
So you have a life decision to make.
Yeah.
How long have you dated this man?
About a month.
Okay. How about you give it 3 months?
All right.
And see how what we're saying here fits then. You don't know him and yourself. What you said about the chemistry, how he cherishes you and you really like that, that is a treasure. But it may not be your treasure. Give it three. Right. The relationship is built on 4 3-month cycles in my world. The first 3 months are as perfect as they're going to be. Oh, he's so loving and whatever, whatever. She's so smart. The second 3 months, the mistakes start happening, or the owies. The third 3 months, you're negotiating. Stop this, start that, do this, do that. And the fourth 3 months, raise your right hand here. I promise.
Okay. I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
Never will I commit.
Never will I commit.
To a finite, fallible human being.
To a finite, fallible human being.
Instead. I will commit to the relationship.
Instead, I will commit to the relationship.
With a finite, fallible human being.
With a finite, fallible human being.
I will do my part.
I will do my part.
And I hope he will do his.
And I hope he will do his.
See, what you're saying is, I want to be the woman. And he's saying, I want to be the woman.
Right.
He has a right to say that. And you said you really like having him like that.
Yeah.
So why don't you take 3 months and date him?
Right.
Amongst others, if you want to date three. And see how you feel about him chemically at the end of 3 months.
Okay. On that, I have a question.
What?
So I told him I don't have all the three, right? All right. And he's like, okay, but up until we already covered it. So I know he has a plan for me. He has all of that. And so when we finally met, he really is big on following through. He took a test to see me and all that. And then when we met, the chemistry was insane. It was really good. And right. And the thing is, though, he was like, we were making out, and then he stopped. He's like, listen, I made a promise to you. We're not going to go any further than this. All right.
That's and so, awesomely virtuous. Golly. Yeah.
No, he really wants to make this work. And, he, you know, I get it. And I'm just saying, well, I mean, we kind of want to be together. Should we, since we already covered all those three, should we go and be intimate? Or should I wait the 90 days? Because,
darling,
you know,
dare have intercourse with a man you don't know if you want.
Okay, all right.
You have a compatibility problem.
Got it. Thank you for that. I needed to hear that from you.
No insertion in mouth, anus, or vagina until you know you want a man with a job or you want to wait for a career man. You see what I mean?
Yes. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Ah, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
We hope you're not
like what I say. What?
Hello?
I was saying we hope she'll update us.
What? I didn't hear that, no.
We hope she'll update us and tell us how it goes.
Yes, definitely will. Thank you so much.
Yeah, please do. Call back.
Okay, will do. Thank you, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, bye.
My ears make a difference, don't they, Kelly?
They do. They make an awesome difference. I'm so pleased that they were able to fix your hearing aids and take care of that for you.
Hi, you've reached Eldeco. Please leave a message.
Oh, boy. Okay. Don't forget, if you get a weird call, it's us calling you back. You want to talk to us, we want to talk to you, not your voicemail. So pick it up, because it's us. I guarantee it. Okay. I really love that you talked about, pointed out to her what she said herself, and maybe she didn't even realize it, which was she's never felt this cherished before. And it's an interesting concept. I think we have someone on the line. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello, caller. Caller, are you there?
Unmute your phone.
Oh, we lost them. So I don't know if she realized it, but it's funny. Oh, hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, hi.
Yeah, it's you. You have to turn your radio down.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. I didn't know because I'm surprised you took my call. Wow, thank you. Dr. Allen, I would like your advice on...
You would like it or you want it? We would like it or you want it?
I want it and I will listen to it.
Remember, I still have to tell my little gimmick. Two people want to buy your car. One would like to buy it, and one wants to buy it. Who's got the money?
I do. But no. Actually, can I?
Yes, you can. I just want people to know, when you say, I would like something, you're letting your audience know you don't expect to get it, and it's easier for them to say no.
That's interesting. I was actually trying to be very polite.
What?
Oh, thank you. But I've learned something from that. You're very wise. I was just trying to be very polite, and so I said I would like to rather than I want. But
no, in my world, potency outranks politeness.
Oh, potency. I love that. I would like to tell you. I have a habit of saying I would like because I've been taught by my parents to be polite. So...
I know
I want
that.
Your advice.
And how much have you done that you didn't want to do, but you had to do it to be polite?
Oh, a lot.
There's a wonderful book about being who you are. It's by Abraham Maslow, and it's called Toward a Psychology of Being. He says there's two kinds of people. a being person who's being authentically themselves, and a D person, D is in dog, who's not being themselves. They're being the cookie cutter design that somebody scripted, which I read to people, scripted to live by their laws until the people go cuckoo and have to hire people like me to teach them to be who they were made to be by God Almighty. There, I said it. Now what can I do for you?
Okay, I will explain my situation. I have received from my boyfriend, who is 14 years younger than me, a proposal to live together. We are currently in a long distance, out of state. We're both out of state relationship for over 13 months. We're going on 14 months.
Are you engaged?
No, we are not engaged because, I lost my business, but he's employed. But he has zero savings, and I'm the one who has all the savings.
And I'm talking about a gold band. I don't know when women and men live together without engagement. He is, hey, lucky guy, and she's a slut.
Okay. So you think that I should tell him that I would not move in with him without an engagement.
That's exactly right, because the neighbors, your family, they will look at your relationship differently.
I see.
Is he worthy of engagement?
Yes, he is a gentle soul. We have A+ chemistry, compatibility, and communication. It's amazing.
Yay! Are you cherished or respected?
I am respected, and I cherish him. He is adorable.
Oh, I love this. I
gentle
love you calling in right after that little girl. And the reason is, who cares how many times you go around the sun, for God's sake?
Incredible, Age, right. He is 14 years younger. He's 39, and I am 53.
I'm
a widow, by the way. I lost my first husband.
Does he want kids?
No, he does not, and I cannot have kids. I'm in menopause.
I know that, dear.
Perfectly.
That's what I said it for. That's the one reason that young men leave older women, is because older women can't do the baby thing unless they go through a lot of work medically. And they do, and I don't blame them. But I hear you're compatible, and I don't care about how many times he's gone around the sun.
Wow. He hasn't gone around the sun as much as me, and he has not been.
But I don't care how many times you've gone around. I don't care. It's not significant. Chemistry is a pheromonal experience in which your body says, I don't care if he's younger. I want him. He's over 18, and that's it.
Exactly. I definitely want him. I don't want any other man except him.
Well, then what are we going to talk about?
Well, about the living in together proposal.
Well, we already decided you're going to get a gold band from Costco's or someplace, Penny's. And you're going to live with him.
Okay. I'm going to share this with him and let him know that I will move in with him if we get engaged.
And tell the family you're engaged.
And tell everyone that we are engaged.
That's just fine. Playing house is fine if you do it with honor.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That solves that. That is excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks for taking my call, and I appreciate all your work for the past 40 years. It is very 50 helpful.
Years. 50 years.
50 years. It is so important and so helpful to so many. So thank you. You've changed the world, I believe, one
do
by one.
Do you know, now that you're giving me my strokes, do you know that some people in 2013 thought I was doing something significantly good, and they knighted me in the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, which is the Hospitallers. They were the people after those ancient wars who built hospitals and schools even for the enemy. And they do it now. Isn't that amazing?
Incredible. You are very important in this world. And I think a lot of us appreciate you very, very much, more than words can say.
And I'm telling you, I appreciate people that love one another and make my world better.
Yes. Yes. I actually feel like we really need smaller communities together with like-minded feeling people who
very
care.
Very good.
Yeah, that's what my young boyfriend wants to do, and that's what I want to do. And he is loved by all the people at his employment, and he has such a very good career ahead of him, while I, you know, my business closed down because of COVID, and now I don't have an income, but I have savings, and he doesn't have the savings because he's so generous. He always is giving money away. So, I mean, really, to help, you know, a lot of things, a lot of people, he's very altruistic and generous. And so I feel like if I do live with him, when we're engaged, because also I don't want to risk changing the relationship dynamic because it's so good right now. He's so in love with me, and the distance part really keeps the heart growing fonder. And
I
you know,
understand
by the way,
that.
Yeah. So if I move in with him, he might just
instinct. Follow your instinct. He's following his intuition.
He is.
You follow dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. Those feelings, those neurotransmitters are in your gut. Follow your gut.
I will. My gut is to keep him in my life. No matter what.
Good.
He is absolutely an amazing man and quite a winner. So
good.
And I think because I'm older than him and more mature in several ways of the world than he is, you know, with experience and having had some very difficult life challenges, you know, such as losing my first husband, and being alone for so long, that I think that he highly respects me. Highly respects me. More than anybody I ever met.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Thank you. It is quite rare, actually, to have that.
I understand
that. To have that. It's usually the other way around, isn't it? Where the woman
wants to be cherished.
Yeah. But
right.
In this case, I wasn't even looking for anyone at all. I mean, we weren't even looking. I wasn't looking for him. I was just saying to myself, I'm happy with my life and everything is fine. And I'm not sure there is anybody out there for me. And I was just going about my business, and I was on a beautiful vacation in his state. And we accidentally, or fatedly, who knows, met. And he came up to me and introduced himself. So it was from
wonderful.
That moment on.
That's a God.
We're so glad. We're really happy for you. Unfortunately, we are out of time, and we're going to have to go. Oh, Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we leave?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Exactly. Everybody, we'll be back next week. We love you. Take care. Be safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.